I said to my wife, I haven't yet got a topic for the Sunday talk, and that's unusual. And Marianne began reading recipes from a Pillsbury booklet she bought at the grocery store. She read about this recipe and that recipe. And finally I said, honey, I'm trying to be quiet so I can hear a topic. She said, oh, I thought talking might just trigger something for you. And I said, yeah, sure, like a recipe for happiness. And so here I am, and here we are, talking about a recipe for happiness. Now, I'm not a person who likes to cook, and I don't particularly care to bake. That's not really my forte or my interest. So what I'm going to cover here is some things that you may want to include in your recipe for happiness, and some ingredients that you may want to leave out entirely. So let's start with some do's and some don'ts. Do listen to yourself as to what pleases you. This is a great starting point when you're creating anything. Listening to too many people's opinions about your happiness can be really confusing because so many people have so many different opinions on that subject. It's like trying to combine too many recipes into a single recipe. And in that case, you may not have a taste or a feel or a vision of what they're like, and it just adds to the confusion. This could be where that cliche came from. Too many cooks spoil the broth. Don't take advice from someone who hasn't used their own recipe unless you really think it through to see if there's some value in the advice. So somebody says here, this is the way to be happy, and they've not ever demonstrated anything even remotely related to happiness, there may be kernels of truth in what they say, but I wouldn't recommend that you accept that entire recipe, that entire point of view about what happiness is and how to achieve it and so on. So you're going to want to go to somebody who's expert if you're going to listen to advice on happiness. Start from where you are. This means if you've never really developed your own sense of effectiveness with the recipe for creating anything in the kitchen or outside the kitchen, what you want to do is start small. You can imagine a baker trying to bake something for the very first time who takes on the challenge of a 7-tier wedding cake that's going to be delivered to a very elaborate wedding ceremony is really outgradient. They're taking too huge a step for the early part of their creation process. It seems like that is pretty much geared to produce disappointment, certainly difficulty in creating that particular result. Another cliche is walk before you run, and that's appropriate. If we start small, if we start ingredient, and start to build up, it's a whole different experience. The good news about the recipe for happiness is that we each have access to all the necessary ingredients to create happiness for ourselves. Those ingredients are not necessarily the same for each of us, nor are the quantities the same for each of us, but having all the ingredients necessary always available to us is pretty reassuring. On the contrary, your use of a recipe for happiness doesn't necessarily produce happiness for other people directly. And so if you're thinking that that's really what you're going to do, you have the recipe for somebody else's happiness, look out for disappointment and struggle and negative feedback. You can make a chocolate cake, for instance, for somebody else, but you can't make that chocolate cake make them happy. They really have the right and the responsibility and the power to use that chocolate cake to create their own happiness. And what happens oftentimes, depending on what's going on in their lives, they're going to translate that chocolate cake into unhappiness based upon the way they're filtering information. So it's not really up to us to create somebody else's happiness. When we try to do that, we've bumped into one of the most important don'ts. Don't control another's happiness. And if you take responsibility for another person's happiness, number one, you've taken on a responsibility that you can't adequately fulfill, and you usurp their responsibility. You've taken away what belongs to them. Being responsible for somebody else's happiness can't be done. It's not effective, and it's just going to lead to unhappiness, not only for the controller, but for the person who is being controlled. When we subvert another person's freedom or self-determinism as to what makes them happy, and don't allow them to discover how to create their own happiness, it's as if we refuse to let somebody learn how to walk or run or to develop their own sense of themselves. We're not doing them any favor by taking responsibility for creating somebody else's happiness. Do understand where in the process of using a recipe you can find happiness. Don't delay your happiness until you're finished creating. If you're going to do anything, right, take part in any process, to believe that you have to wait till the end before you can experience happiness is an unnecessary delay in that joy, in that happiness, in the fun of the process. If you wait till the mess of creating anything is all cleaned up before you decide now you can be happy, you've unnecessarily delayed your happiness. And I would certainly recommend that you don't delay your happiness waiting for somebody to praise you, to pat you on the back, to give you kudos for what you've created. If you're waiting for other people to give you feedback before you will allow yourself to be happy, you have given your happiness to them. And if they're considerate and wise and thoughtful, perhaps they'll give it back to you. But if they don't understand exactly what you've just done, you've given them the power and the keys to your happiness, and now you have to wait and hope you can coax it out of them, manipulate it out of them, jump through hoops in order for them to give it back to you. Do understand that happiness is available before you embark on the recipe, in the middle of the process of creating whatever it is you're creating, both in the kitchen and out, and after every step of the process of creating. Happiness is all of this. It's before, during, and after. And as we develop the skill in realizing and accessing and becoming aware that we can get these feelings from it, we have an entirely different set of experiences. Just thinking about a recipe, kind of like window shopping, can create and activate our happiness, right? Our aspirations start to go up, our desire starts to go up, our imagination, our envisioning of what it is we're going to be doing starts to go up, and that is the spark of a lot of hope and joy and happiness. Using the recipe, any recipe, can be fun and bring you happiness. Adding this and that energy pattern can be exciting, and that can bring you happiness. Some people imagine when they travel, and I've heard this being a pretty frequent traveler, is some people think that the only happiness in the act of traveling is when they arrive at a destination. Oh, now I can be happy. Now I can be happy. But you recognize that the days and or the hours and the hundreds or even thousands of miles involved in going from where we are to where we want to be, they didn't recognize that there was any opportunity to mine those experiences for happiness. While that happiness was available, all they had to do was pick up these nuggets right off the ground, almost as if they were walking in a gold mine that's readily available for harvesting. All they have to do is bend over, pick it up, and their awareness was such that they didn't recognize that that was possible. They had already seen or had this image or learned this somewhere, somehow, that the travel is tedious, it's boring, it's hard, it's difficult, it's this, it's that, And so they missed all that opportunity for happiness during the journey, during the process. And it was only when the final result, the destination, when they arrived there, that they were able to notice that there was an opportunity for happiness. We don't need to play that way. We can get happiness much earlier in the cycle and continuously through the cycle. Happiness is not in the result. And if you can only find happiness in the result, you will recognize that taking on an activity, getting engaged or involved in a particular process, is not worth it after a while. You may do it one time and you go, you know what? You know, the result, if this is the only happiness I got, it's not worth the effort. I'm not going to bother. I'm not going to bother. And now all of a sudden you recognize, I'm engaged in a lot less activities. I'm doing far fewer things. Nothing really excites me. It is because that misconception that the result is where the real value is. It's the process. It is the learning process. It is the developmental process. It is the steps along the way in every journey is where the real value is. Happiness is in the process, depending on how we look at it. It's step by step. Happiness is thought by thought, feeling by feeling, image by image. They're available to us. All we have to do is become aware of it and intend to gain that. Do understand what you are creating. Don't be tricked into thinking that we're only creating a solid physical object. When we use a recipe, for instance, to create a cake, we're not just creating a cake. If having a physical cake were the only goal, well, and then buying the cake would be a lot easier. It's easier, probably cheaper, certainly is faster, saves us a lot of time, a lot of effort. But we aren't just making a cake. We're creating an increasing sense of our own effectiveness about our abilities. We're also creating an energy delivery system, right? What we do is, not only are we adding the physical ingredients to a cake, the flour, the eggs, the milk, and so on, but we're adding our energy, our positive expectations, our caring for this creation, the fun of the craftsmanship, the workmanship that goes into this, the skill. And perhaps if this, we're going to share this with other people, it is our thoughts and caring about those other people go into the creation of this cake. A cake is far more energetic than it is solid. And when we appreciate that, then we recognize we're adding the main ingredients into the cake. And those are not the flour and the milk and the eggs. That's our energy. When we add our own good feelings about the process that we're involved in, that we are caring enough to make the cake, that we're willing to physically take on this responsibility or this role of creating this thing, we can feel really good about us. This cake is not just a cake. It's a representation of the ability to create and develop in ourselves good feelings. We're obviously practicing our skills at the process of creating. If we can learn how to bake and we did this as children probably, made mud pies, probably got patted on the back or the head for this, and, you know, oh, that's adorable, oh, that's so cute, oh, this is so cool. We took that creation of desirable results, of feedback, and went, oh, you know, yeah. They delivered that feedback to us, and we didn't understand this as a child, but we had the same ability to create that kind of feedback in ourselves. Now as adults, as we're creating anything, a novel, a job, a project, a cake, or any other thing, when we are creating that, we are the ones that can deliver the positive feedback to ourselves. And that feedback, in fact, goes into the creation. Learning how to create happiness is really the process of adding the ingredients that we value, that we think will result in happiness for ourselves to produce a desirable result. We learn how to add the ingredients to produce a desirable result. We will be happy when we do that, and happy the next time we do it, and we do it, and we do it, and we do it. And then we expand the areas of our lives where we apply those understandings to create money, create health, create relationships, create careers, create valuable products that we can exchange with other people, and they value them equally, so they give us money in return. And we're useful, we solve our needs of being useful, and we have the freedom to do that. All of these ingredients are what we can add to our recipe for happiness. Because each result of creating from a recipe, even the same recipe, even when we're doing it in the same day, is different. If we can avoid comparing, we would have done a great thing for ourselves. The use of comparison is one ingredient that spoils more recipes for happiness than any other single ingredient. When we compare, we put ourselves at a disadvantage. If you were to look and make cookies, for instance, even if you're using the same cookie cutter on the same dough at the 1 second after another, each of those cookies on the cookie sheet are separate and unique. They're distinct. You can see the space between one cookie and another. Even though they were formed 1 second or a second and a half apart, they in fact are unique. They're different. If they were the same, you'd have one cookie, but in fact, you don't. And being able to understand and appreciate this separateness, this distinctness, and not need them all to be identical, really can result in a much higher level of happiness. Comparing the lives which we've created for ourselves to the lives that somebody else has created for them is a setup. That is the way to create unhappiness. That's a recipe for unhappiness, comparing our lives to somebody else's lives. If we compare our lives the way we've created our lives up to this point, in all those areas, financial, health, relationships, you name it, and we judge ourselves to be less than the other people, and we stay in that emotional state for any period of time, like a second or more, or even longer than that, we will become unhappy. We'll become unhappy with us, and we'll become unhappy with them. If we judge ourselves to be more than, wow, we're cool, we got much more, my creation is far superior to their creation, we put ourselves in the emotional state of pride. And if we stay there for any length of time, even a very short period of time, we are setting ourselves up for a fall, which is going to lead to unhappiness. That cliche, the third one today, is this, you know, pride comes before the fall, is with a little bit of introspection about your life, and certainly that's true for me and true for people I speak with, that pride comes before the fall. You find yourself in pride, you're going to want to move up one more step into courageousness and make it fun and make it about exploring and developing, as compared to putting all your attention on yourself and taking your eye off what you ought to be attending to. Do look in the right places for the ingredients to your recipe. When we plan to bake a pie, for instance, we may look in various places in our home or even in a store. We'll look in the refrigerator, the pantry, the cupboard, the closets, cabinets, airtight containers where we store flour or something, and on and on. When we're looking for physical ingredients, we ought to be looking in physical places. But what about the ingredients of happiness? Where do we look for the ingredients to that recipe? Don't look in physical places for stuff that's not physical. do look within. We, each of us, are the pantry. We're the refrigerator. We're the cupboards. We're the cabinets. We have the ingredients within. We have all we need, even if the ingredients have been tucked away and forgotten about in the corners or dark recesses of our minds or our hearts. We have those ingredients within. Don't look outside yourself. The awareness that makes our own happiness doesn't come from pills or potions or applause or approval. Now, all that stuff, of course, can feel good, but it's a temporary. It's a temporary substitute, and not really that great of a substitute, too, for real happiness. And that real happiness is when we can internally generate it for ourselves. When we can produce happiness for ourselves by the way we process information, we, through our relationship with ourselves, and frankly, I think our Creator, have the connection to all the ingredients that we're going to need. So, what are the ingredients in the recipe for happiness? There is no one recipe. So I just said the recipe. It's a recipe. There are a wide range of ingredients. You recognize that. And certainly, you recognize that the quantities that you would use in your recipe for happiness might be different than the ones somebody else would use or I would use. And those things are largely based upon our tastes, our sensibilities, our sensitivities, the way we've been brought up, what we value and what we don't value. And so I would say to you, consider some of these. Add these ingredients. Desire. Doing something because you want to is almost a guarantee of happiness. Doing something because you have to, and that requires an emotional skill to convert that have to into a want to. And that skill, in my experience, for personally as well as with other people, is a fantastic skill to have, but it's really an advanced skill, and it may not be accessible to a novice creator. So, in that case, do stuff that you want to do. And that's where you have to take responsibility for your desire. And for some people, this is a real challenge. It's like, oh, I was never allowed to make that decision for myself. This is a great time to practice. Practice in a small way. Don't do it out gradient. You know, you want to be the president of the world. But in fact, create some smaller scale condition that you can resonate with, that you know as you engage in that process, it will be very easy for you to feel happiness for the process and for yourself. Add respect and compassion. Each one of us, and I think this is an important point that a lot of people don't deal with, each one of us is exactly where we should be on our paths and in our skill level of creating happiness. A lot of people think it's necessary to find fault with where they are in order to get to the next place. It's almost like I have to hate first base in order to get second base. The trouble is, that's not true. Hating first base makes you heavy, and it makes you solid, and it makes first base stickier. So it's harder to get off of that. It's harder to leave it behind because we're busy fighting what is. It's not necessarily to do that. If you recognize that all of us have had millions of energetic inputs over the course of our lives, we've had millions of thoughts, we've heard people express millions of thoughts, we've had our own millions of images, and we've processed millions of images from the outside. We've had millions of feelings. We've taken millions of actions and behaved in a lot of different ways. We've spoken millions of words. And if you were to add all of those up, all of those energies up, they have gotten us to exactly where we are today in whatever condition you want to look at. Your spiritual relationships are exactly the way they are because of all of that. Your mental relationships, the way you think about yourself and others, the way you feel about yourself and others, that your physicality, your finances, your family relationships, and on and on and on, your careers, all of them are exactly the result of all the ingredients that I just elaborated on, those thoughts and feelings and inputs. Where we are, legitimately, it can't be any other way, because it's all based upon those energetic ingredients. When we accept that, things become a lot easier, because we respect that this is a legitimate result. We don't need to fight the fact that we are where we are. All we have to do is adjust the ingredients. As we adjust the ingredients, what we start to create becomes different. And as we respect and we're compassionate about ourselves, then we're more respectful of other people and more compassionate. But the key is, then we stop fault-finding. We stop beating ourselves up. And then we're no longer the threat. We're no longer trying to protect ourselves from ourselves, but in fact are trying to focus on what we want to create, discovering our own recipe for happiness. If you think about it for even a moment or two, you can recognize that beating ourselves up is really the act of trying to destroy what we have created. It's an act of destruction, not of creation. I'm thinking, generally speaking, destruction is not the recipe for happiness. When we stop fighting what is, we can turn our attention back to what will be. That is, what we want to create, what we want to experience, what we want to discover. Add playfulness. Happiness is light, not heavy. Make the process fun. Put on music, sing, dance, be childlike. That's been discouraged for lots of us when we were children. Isn't that weird? We're discouraged from being childlike when we were children. Don't be silly. Don't be silly. Don't act that way. What way? Don't act like a child. But I'm a child. Now, we didn't have that conversation. We may have thought it to ourselves, but it added to the confusion of how to create happiness. Well, I can't do what makes me happy, so how do I create happiness? I'm not certain of that. Exactly. And we go through years and years of bumping into walls, trying different things, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and a whole bunch of other stuff, and that doesn't work. That doesn't work. Be playful. Happiness is important, but it's not serious. Add attention. Put your attention on what you're doing, and what you're doing is becoming more and more effective at creating happiness. If we're looking over our shoulders, fearing what others are thinking about us or what they're going to say, maybe at their judgment of what we're doing or what we're creating, we can't be focused on creating happiness. We're going to be focused on avoiding unhappiness. Those are two entirely different, mutually exclusive activities. Avoiding unhappiness is not the same as creating happiness. Add a sense of effectiveness, not a sense of perfection. The people who try to add perfection to their creations are basically doomed to unhappiness, because as soon as they add what they think is perfect, another feeling of doubt is going to pop up, and then they're going to experience anxiety and wonder if they added too much or not enough, and they go into a tailspin. That downward spiral is the result of believing in perfection and trying to attain it. Not going to happen. There is no perfection. There's only effectiveness. And since there's no such thing as an absence of effectiveness, that means no matter what we do, no matter what we try or miss or add or don't add, we're still being effective at creating happiness. Just a question of degree. If creating happiness is our intention. If that's our intention, the creation of happiness, we're effective at it. just in the formulation of that intention, by giving energy to that thought, all of a sudden, everything starts to coalesce to support and collaborate with us in the creation of that happiness. The universe is really benevolent that way. Spirit comes to our aid. It's just unbelievable. And most people recognize that this is true, that once they make a decision that this is what they intend to create, all of a sudden, seemingly from out of nowhere, almost magically, that support for that effort arises and comes to their aid. It's not magic. It's how it works. It's how it works. Since we're talking about happiness and we're talking about effectiveness, let's throw out a few ingredients as being totally unnecessary in this creation. And those would be bad, wrong, and mistakes and errors. They're ingredients, but those ingredients, when they're added, they lead to emotional pain and self-diminishment. And that's hardly the ingredients you want to include in a recipe of happiness. You know, in the creation of anything, you know, in the kitchen or out, the issue of time is always important. How long? How long should we bake it? How long does it have to sit? How long should it cool? How long should it be in the freezer if it were an ice cream cake, for instance? How long? All creations take as long as they take. And because every person is unique, and so is their recipe for happiness, there's no standard amount of time that you could say, oh, it takes this many months, or this many years, or this many hours, or this many of this, or so. Until the happiness is complete? Nope. There is no real answer to that question, other than it takes as long as it takes. Which means what? It means you're going to want to add patience. And you recognize by adding patience, all it is, patience is recognizing that it's taking as long as it's taking, and that's okay. Impatience is, it's taking as long as it's taking, and it's not okay. I don't like it. It makes me feel bad about myself, and you name it. Like, how's that working? Obviously, impatience does very little any good. It makes veins pop out on foreheads and necks and teeth being ground together and high blood pressure. It doesn't make things happen faster. In fact, it seems to make things happen even more slowly. It takes as long as it takes. And I would think this is important too. We need to understand that we are never done creating happiness. This is not a one-time activity. Sometimes I hear people say, well, how many times do I have to do this in order to be happy? Or to reduce stress? Or, you know, do I have to do it more than once? Do I have to do it more than twice? Do I have to do it, you know, how many, 5 days? Do I have to do it more than a week? It's like, Creating happiness is not an activity that we only want to do one time. Well, if you only want to do it one time, then I think you're going to experience that activity one time, and for however long it endures. It may last for a while, it may persist for a while, but then you go, I might need to do this again. Yeah, exactly. We're going to have to do it again. Happiness and the creation thereof is more like breathing and blinking and more like eating and thinking. We're going to do it over and over and over again. We're going to continue creating happiness until maybe one of these two things, until we decide we want to create on another plane of existence, not in physical form any longer, or we quit this plane of existence in frustration because we couldn't create happiness the way we wanted to. I see that happening all the time, too. Both of those choices are ours, but it's the second choice of, oh, you know, this doesn't work for me. Life is too hard. It's that recipe for unhappiness is adding lots of lies to your thinking. Lots of lies about inability. Can't, won't, shouldn't, must not, or have to's that we can't overcome, that we can't translate into want to's. And when that freedom, that sense of ineffectiveness overwhelms or dominates us, people tend to quit and leave their bodies. It doesn't have to be that way. The recipe for happiness is to play at increasing your awareness of what is true for you, what makes you happy with yourself, and then investing your energy, combining those ingredients as it suits you. And if you're happy, you bring happiness to the world. And modeling happiness is one of the finest things that we can deliver to people who think about us, who see us, who know us, who interacted with us, who care about us. When we demonstrate our recipe for happiness, it encourages them to discover theirs. That's an amazing gift we can give others. I'd like to end the service with a prayer. Father God, Mother God, Christ, the source and connection to all that is, all happiness, all the ingredients to our happiness. We ask to have our awareness increased, and we thank you for the level that it is today, knowing full well that as it unfolds, as it expands, as it increases, and we become more and more aware of these wonderful things there are to admire, to respect, to appreciate in our lives, not only about ourselves, but about every other person, everything, every living thing, every apparently inanimate object can be appreciated. Our ability to translate environmental signals into things that make us feel good is the ultimate recipe for happiness. Thank you for making that available to us. It is so. Amen.